Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
How many of you were here last Sunday? Okay. And you heard that we have a committed intention to plant the church in the La Crosse area. Okay. All right. Those of you who are not here, how many of you heard about it anyhow? Okay, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If you've not heard it, that's our committed intention, is to plant a church in the La Crosse area. And when I say committed intention, it means we've made a commitment to move ahead and go through the process and put the initial money behind it, okay? And we're at very early stages. We're still looking for a location. So if you want to put something on your prayer list, just say, God, would you open up the location in La Crosse area that you have for us to initially start the church plant? Understand, churches that are planted somewhere don't always stay in that location. For example, some churches start in a high school gymnasium. Okay, you just start holding a service once a week. And you set up chairs or pull out bleachers or set up, tear down. And then there's others that you rent a space and they stay there and eventually, you know, grow or buy the place or do something different as God brings that into play down the road. We don't know any of that, okay? And so we have made a step of faith to commit to this intention. And if God, for some reason, would shut the door or lead different, then you know what? I'll stand up here and tell you, you know what? We said yes, we endeavored to do it, and for whatever reason, this step of faith that we've taken, you know, praise God, he led us in a new direction. We didn't give birth to an Ishmael, and we're still looking for the Isaac. It's okay, all right? I just do not want to have on my record or our record the opportunity to plant a church in the La Crosse area that we didn't look for. It came to us, and that we're going to respond. I just don't want on our record that we just said no. I don't. I do not want that on my eternal record. I'm not talking about my pastoral record with people. I'm talking about who we answer to. And so we've made a committed intention, and we're just letting that go public. That could take months to do. It could take a year to do, okay? And so we just want to walk through it with as much faith the Spirit can give us and with as much wisdom that God has. And enough grace to, you know, keep bouncing back if any mistakes are made, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, you know, we don't set out to make mistakes, but along the way you trip and stumble sometimes and kind of remind you that God's running the show and we're seeking him. And he knows how to pick us up and dust us off. Praise the Lord. Does it in our personal life. So, you asked me to preach. All I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple scriptures, make a couple comments that will hopefully be meaningful to us. Those of you who are here Wednesday night, I don't apologize to you, but I kind of do in the sense that I'm going to touch on the same thing. It wasn't my initial plan, but I just felt to do that. And then if time allows us, I'll maybe open this up for just a couple of questions, just for the sake of time. We can't answer all questions, but open it up for a couple of questions that you may have about this church plant. And so why don't you open your Bibles? Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Thank you, love. Appreciate it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is probably not a foreign verse to many of you. For some, it might be new. And I don't want to take anything out of the context of what Jesus was saying, but I think that part of it includes what we're going to touch on this morning. And so I don't want this to be a misuse of Scripture. I want this to be accurate and very practical and applicable to us. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Actually, we'll start with verse 7. Jesus said to them, now this is after his crucifixion and after his resurrection. Okay, and he's talking to his followers, his disciples here, and he says, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. That alone should also, just a side note, give us a little peace and say, there are some things we ask of God about times and dates, and that's okay, and sometimes he tells us, and sometimes he just doesn't want us to know, and he set them by his authority. So you know what? Be at peace with not knowing. Just a side note about some things. Basically, it says, for some of these things, we are on a need-to-know basis. And there are times we just don't need to know. Okay? And so, and there are other things that he lets us know in advance. And so, he's talking to them. He says, don't get wrapped up in all the dates and chronological orders right now. God, my Father, has set things by his own authority. But you, okay, and he's talking to them. He says, in other words, don't be concerned about that. Rather, I would have you be concerned and focused on this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, there will be a power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you that will empower you beyond your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your realm of influence. Everything will be greater because of this Holy Spirit coming upon you. He says, it will power you to be my witnesses or my martyrs or those who will carry the message and testify about me, Jesus. He says, this Holy Spirit will come on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts or the ends of the earth. He said this, he was then taken up before their very eyes and he ascended into heaven. Jerusalem is where they were. And Jerusalem was not foreign to his followers, to his disciples. And neither was Judea, and neither was Samaria. Obviously, when he says the uttermost parts of the earth, that means places that they have not been or heard of or known even. So Jesus is talking about until he comes back, this is what's going to happen. The message is going to be perpetuated through humanity and the revelation of God and ongoing disciples way beyond their lifetime. And it says, but you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria. gives us a power to do that. You know, and I don't want to take things out of context, and I want to be careful, and yet we need to apply these things to our life because we weren't standing there, and so we take the principle and apply it to our life. So our Jerusalem, for example, Sam, where's your Jerusalem? Where do you live?
Salem.
West Salem, okay? So his Jerusalem is West Salem. It's where we live. If you're in Sparta or you go to the church here in Sparta, this is kind of part of your Jerusalem. And Judea would be kind of like, you know, the maybe outside that area, a little further, okay? And then like your Samaria, maybe a little further, the outermost parts of the earth. And we give a lot of money to missions. We want to do that. We want to help missionaries who are called. We want to send them. And so, you know, they go around the world. We give money to home missions and ministry to like Teen Challenge and City on a Hill and Milwaukee and, you know, just ministries around. Now, remember this Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. I want to touch on something. Isn't it easier when God tells us something in his word or by revelation of his Holy Spirit, something he wants us to do or something he doesn't want us to do? Isn't it just always easier to just kind of say yes and obey? But when we wrestle with it, ignore it, or say no, then we start to go through this process, right? It's and what God does is he still talks to us. He's still kind of knocking on the door. Hey, I remember what I mentioned to you the other day? And, you know, we can't play dumb. I mean, he knows that we know or we don't know. It's not like you can fool God, right? The Spirit bears witness. He knows the truth. And remember what I talked to you about the other day? You know, I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to take this on. I'd like to appoint you to this. Or I'd like you to not do this. Or don't do this anymore. You know, like when he convicts us of sin, right? We did something wrong and he's, don't do that. That's not good. Yeah, I know it felt good to your flesh, but that's not right. Not that it doesn't, not that things that feel good to our flesh are wrong. It's this, if it's outside the bounds of what's holy and right by him, then it's a no-no. And he speaks to us and he convicts us. You know, it's like his hand is heavy upon us in Psalm chapter 32. Here, let's turn there real quick. Psalm 32. Now, don't leave Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria alone. We're going to touch on this again. But Psalm 32. I'm going to read most of the chapter just because I know it's late, but I just feel bad about not reading this whole psalm. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, everybody says. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. Now, David is writing this and he says, but I acknowledge all that, you know, when the sin's not counted against us and we're forgiven, that is really good. And then he says this, but when I kept silent, in other words, he's saying, when I didn't confess my sins, when God kept saying, hey, this is not good. This is separating us. This is, you're putting this before me. This is not right. And David's feeling a conviction of sin. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. And my strength was sapped as if it was the heat of summer. Do you remember what summer was like around here? Don't let it leave your mind yet. I mean, I had to scrape my window this morning. It was a little after 5 a.m. and I was out there going, you know. I'm sorry, I hate that. Scraping the windows. I even bought my wife a brand new scraper, a nice one, and she won't go out and use it on my car. Kidding you. Remember what summer's like? You know what it is to do something? It's just like you feel like the strength go out of you. Just like, you might even get a little dizzy. You got to sit down. It's like water and you feel a little nauseous. You're just like, oh, my strength. You're just sapped. Okay, those of you who are young, you never felt it. Just wait. It's coming for you. He says it's like it was sapped. In other words, God's hand was heavy on him. It's like there's this pressure of God making his presence known, his conviction known in our heart, in our soul, on our mind. It's like, I feel uneasy. I know this isn't right. Have you had those things? That's God. That's God. He's speaking to you. He's getting your attention. It's this responding to pressure. And when I say pressure, I don't mean like he's giving you, manipulation. It's like he's giving you little cues, little clues to move us, to get our attention. God, those things are called God's grace. What if he just said, oh, you don't want to? Fine. I'm done with you. He just didn't give us time again. No, he keeps coming after us. We stumble, we fall, we ignore, we resist him. He keeps coming. He puts his hand on us. He gives us cues of pressure to get our attention. Why? Because he loves us. He's being patient with me, with you. So David says, if I didn't confess my sin, this is what happened. Then he said, verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess. I'll admit it. I mean, I've had conversation with God that's been all private. He knows our thoughts and minds. I can pray to him without speaking out loud. He knows. And then sometimes it'll come and all of a sudden I'll get to a point and we're having this conversation, but all of a sudden it gets out loud and I go, okay. All right. Or I'm sorry. said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who's godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach that person. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct and teach you in the way you should go, God says. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then God says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but are controlled by a bit and a bridle. Or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the person who trusts in him, who responds to him, says yes to him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad you're righteous. Sing, all you upright of heart. I tell you this because as God gives you cues in life and gives you opportunity, and not that every opportunity is from him, but he cues, he gives us a clue, he reveals, he speaks to us, he confirms things. We've got to respond and say, yes, I'll obey or I will do. It's so much easier if we would just say yes right away instead of going through the, oh, my strength is sapped, is in the heat of summer, and I live in Wisconsin, and it's the middle of January. We've got to respond to God's cues, applying pressure. All you horse community people, you understand this. You give cues and pressure to your horse by bit and bridle and spurs and heel and the way you shift your body in the saddle, and it takes cues, and if it's a good horse, it obeys. If not, and it doesn't want to obey, then it acts like us sometimes with God. We rear up, we buck, we fight the bit, we do our thing, we try to head back to the stall and say, give me grain, just feed me, bless me, but don't get me involved in doing anything. Now take it back to the Holy Spirit coming upon us as followers, and we are empowered to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Sometimes we say yes right away. Sometimes we work through the process. And in the book of Acts in the early church, you turn to Acts chapter 8. And now instead of going to Acts 1:8, go to Acts 8:1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church. Where? You're not there yet? That's okay. We'll wait. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout where? Now, where did you hear those places before? Acts chapter 1. You will have power to be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Acts 8:1 starts out and says persecution broke out and the church was scattered. The people left. They started going all over. They went over to Judea and Samaria where they were empowered by the Spirit to be witnesses. Now, I'm not telling you that the persecution came from God. I'm not telling you the persecution came from the devil or it just came from some corrupt leaders somewhere in their evil human, you know, spirit who had their own agenda and didn't want the church operating. I'm just telling you that persecution came. If you're here struggling trying to figure out where the persecution came, you're missing the point. Okay? And if your theology doesn't leave room for God to bring persecution, then go to the Old Testament and you can struggle with your theology between you and God about how he used other kingdoms to break war out against his people because his people weren't obeying God. So you go ahead and wrestle with God about it. And if that stretches your theology and you're mad, then just talk to him about it. I don't have any problem if the persecution God allowed or whether it came from the devil. It doesn't matter. The point is this, that in every evil thing that's done, if we trust God, he has the ability to bring something good out of it. Now look at the cue that happened, and it was an obvious cue. The cue was persecution came against the church in Jerusalem, and what happened? They scattered to Judea and Samaria. So now, as they are Christians and they fled the persecution in Jerusalem, they take the gospel and God and the Holy Spirit who is in them to these new places that Jesus prophesied about. I look at that and I think, I don't want persecution to come for us, frankly. If it comes, it comes. But, you know, it's not like I'm praying, oh, God, we want to spread the gospel, so let persecution come against us. I'd rather just say, if you're giving us opportunity to spread the gospel beyond our Jerusalem, we just want to say yes. If that's the cue, if it comes by way of opportunity, by planting a church in our Judea, La Crosse area, because our Jerusalem's kind of Sparta-ish, then let's look at this and say, okay, you don't have to go down the line and ask another church. You don't have to apply a bunch of pressure to us. You don't have to put a bit and bridle in New Life Assembly of God Church and in the pastor and crank on it and give us a plow rein and just, you know, we just want to listen to your cue. And if this is part of spreading the gospel and partnering with other churches who are spreading the gospel in the La Crosse area, then you know what? We will make a committed intention to do it. We don't want your hand heavy upon us because of disobedience. We want your spirit to rest upon us. We want your hand upon us to lead us and guide us and direct us and help us. And I want you to know that that's how I look at this whole opportunity. Being very honest with you. This is not something that I came up with. This was not my idea. This is something that came our way. And I just believe as a church that we want to spread the gospel, and it's so easy for us to give money in the offering to go to missions around the world. I'll tell you what, that's easy. I mean, it's a sacrifice, but it's easy. I give the money, and I'm done with it. And then I can get the plaque from the district office that says, oh, you gave money to missions. And then we can feel really good about our church. But a recent prophecy said, get out of your complacency. You remember that one that came? Yeah, we printed it up. I'm hoping it's still in your Bible or on your fridge or something. Not that you painted it on your door, but a magnet thing. And that part of it was sending missionaries where you're at. Ooh. And so I look at that. And I look at this, and I'm not trying to mentally piece stuff together to make it work. I'm just trying to pick up some cues and clues and what is God saying, and let's discover this and help us in truth and in discretion and wisdom. And so I look at this. I want your hand upon us to lead us and guide us. I don't want to be disobedient or run from what we sense God is leading us to do so that his hand is heavy upon us with correction. I want us to embrace what God's saying and what he's doing. Along with this opportunity of ministry, and we can apply all these principles to our personal life, every one of us here, but we certainly apply it to our church life as we look at this opportunity of planting a church in the La Crosse area. I'll just stop there. I don't want to know what time it is because I'll just dismiss you. I want to provide you an opportunity to ask a couple of questions. I'll just field them. I'll tell you what I know. And be honest, it may not be much. And then we're going to pray. And then we're going to go eat lunch. Not all of us together. In the same place. Yeah. I just want us to remember that God is personally, apart from the church plant, personally in our life, God has given us cues. He's putting his hand on us. He's empowering us to be a witness where we're at. And sometimes he sends us a little further. And I want you to be mindful of that in your personal life. Where is God empowering me to be a witness, to care about somebody, to live the gospel before them, to talk to them about the good news of Jesus, what he meant to me? Where is that happening in my life? Where am I being effective in my Jerusalem? That's the question. So let me do this. I'd like you to put your hand up and not shout them out, and I'm not going to take time to answer every question, but if you have some questions that you want to ask about this church plant, I will answer it to the best of my ability. Okay? So go ahead. Katie. That's a fair question. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit in case some people didn't hear you. There is an Assembly of God church in the downtown area of La Crosse, around the edge of the downtown area, called New Beginnings. It's a storefront church. And what would happen to that church if we plant a church over there? Or is there a way to partner together in what's already happening there? La Crosse is proper, is about 65,000 people. There's also a church in Onalaska, an Assembly of God church. And when you look at Onalaska, La Crosse, and surrounding areas within a drivable distance, you're looking at about 100,000 people. And so we are mindful of their locations. We're not looking for infringement. The district office of the Assemblies of God says, you know, we look at La Crosse historically. The Assemblies, that we've had a challenge in La Crosse, and we've got two churches over there, and they're working hard, and they're doing their part. But 100,000 people area, they feel that that church can actually handle probably somewhere between 3 and 5 Assembly of God churches just in the La Crosse. And so their emphasis about church plant, and that's where they're seeing growth throughout the gospel in America, is through church plants. Churches that exist tend to maintain right now or decline, and church plants as part of the evangelism. So we're mindful of where they're located. There has been some initial contact and dialogue with those pastors, and dialogue that's going to continue. Some of it's been message giving and letter being given to initially break some conversation open. And we are not looking, it was made clear, that we are looking to initially train some people from New Life in Sparta. We're not looking at getting people from other churches. That is not the idea. We're not looking to hurt anybody. And even within Assembly of God churches within an area, Katie, churches vary, not in doctrine, but in who they reach, who they target, what they're effective with. Not every single church, individual church, can meet everybody's need and do everything. And so the neat thing is that you have a partnership, hopefully, in the sense where we initially are just doing a Sunday morning service. That's what the church plan is starting with. We're not going to have all kinds of ministries and nursery and kids program, all that kind of stuff. And so people who come in, or people who get saved, or if someone is homeless, if someone is, you know, we can't meet the need, we can direct them and hopefully be a feeder and a help and a partner to like a New Beginnings or to a River of Life in Onalaska. We're not looking at taking people. It's a kingdom perspective. The district knows a size like that from other studies and cities that it can have multiple Assembly of God churches, just like it has multiple other denominational churches within La Crosse in that area. So is that my kind of answering your question? That's all I can tell you. No, not really. What do you want to know? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I will let you know this, that if there were people interested here in making New Beginnings their home and go and be a help, I would have no problem sending people. I mean, is this what you want, you know, some people want to do? I'm happy. I mean, I am. I mean, the kingdom is bigger than here. I don't know that the full answer of helping reach the cross is just helping one church. So glad to do that. But the opportunity that's come to us is to plant a church. We're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. We're trying to be sensitive. People who are in a city area and they're operating in a church, yeah, they want help. They need resource. They're doing a work. They're working hard. But they also understand that, hey, this is a big city. This is a big town. Let's have a kingdom perspective. Let's reach people. And if we can partner together, reach parts of La Crosse, send people one way or the other to encourage and be a part of, or that you're good at this, we're not set up for this, we care about the people, can we send them your way? In fact, the hope of the district is that when we plant a church, if this really happens, and this and there's some growth, and the church becomes something in numbers like this, that church plant and New Life Sparta would actually become a grandparent church, that church would plant the church. It's not the idea of trying to grow one big church. It's to grow a church, plant another church, and continue to do this, because we're discovering that right now that is how people are being saved and where the kingdom's growing. It hasn't initially been through existing churches. Not that we give up on that. I mean, something wonderful's happened here in Sparta. We've seen growth over the last few years. And so it's a big area. No one church can do it. We want to partner together. We want to do our part. And so, initial phone tag, letters, and conversation was already starting underway. So that's all I can tell you. I'm not hiding anything. It's just, I'll be honest with you. That's one of the uncomfortabilities I have. I'll just be vulnerable with you, is, calling to plant a church where we already have a couple of churches, but I know that in a city like that, in other places, they've got multiple churches. It's just what it is. It's not a competition thing. It's going in and being about God's work, and that's really the endeavor and motive here, and it's not a slight on anybody, nothing like that. And so the uncomfortable part for me is I know that we have Christian brothers and sisters who are working and working hard, and whether they've had a lot of fruit or little fruit or whatever, they're being meaningful to people, and that's what matters. And so there is a little uncomfortability, but I can't take the bait of, ooh, I don't want, what if somebody gets hurt? Or, well, then let's just continue to keep things status quo in the way they are. I don't know that that's having kingdom perspective either. And so that's where I'm at personally on this, and that's what we're endeavoring to do, is come with peace and partnership and, do the best we can. And be honest with you, because it's just a Sunday morning initially, we're not going to be set up. That church plant is not going to be set up to handle all the needs. If we can send people another direction who can meet their needs, what a great blessing I think that is for the church plant to be able to say, hey, it's hard work. We can't do it all. This is who we are right now. We can't do it. So here, if we can send people over, whether to be a part who are in need or whether to be a part in that's their heart and vision, we're not looking at setting up across the street. So, John. In La Crosse? Here, John, that's a good question. They have done some demographics. They've done some studies. I'm the one saying La Crosse area because I want to be real careful to say, we are going to go to South La Crosse. And all of a sudden, a building opens up in North La Crosse. Then they come back and say, we're going to North La Crosse. And you're going, what? So when I say La Crosse area, I'm being general enough because I don't want to make great claims here. I want to be real careful with that. So I'm saying La Crosse area. If you want to know where, and I want to be careful to even tell you this, not that I'm trying to withhold information. It's just I know what happens in a setting like this is people run out and talk like it's fact, and it's not. So much of this can change. I'll tell you my initial thought is to look, and the only place I've really looked is in South La Crosse. That doesn't mean we're going to end up there. Did you hear that? I'm saying La Crosse area because I want to be general and not paint ourselves into a corner when we don't need to at this point. Once we have a building, then I can say, hey, guess what? It's here, you know, but I can't say that now. But I'll tell you where I'm initially looking is in the southern part of La Crosse. And we may not end up there. I can't. I'm just saying La Crosse area. That gives lots of area. Okay, so good question. That's all I can tell you because I don't have any more information. Any other questions? I know there's questions that you have. Are you just, Gino? Okay. Gino, that's a great question. It was asked Wednesday night, so get the tape. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm kidding. No. I'm messing with you. I'm just having a little bit of fun. It's nice in a conversation like this because it gets real, you know, everybody's uptight about what they don't know and what I can't tell them, and I want to be able to tell stuff that I just don't know. And so I'm just having you laugh for a minute. That's a great question. Oops, sorry. It's a great question. I am the pastor of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. Us all, are parenting or mothering a church plant in La Crosse area. That's our committed intention. I will be preaching, pastoring at both places initially. And let me tell you why. Because there's less risk in this. Not just from a financial standpoint, but the obligation now to take care of a pastor and his family over there. They got to spend time raising funds like a missionary does. Travel around, get monthly to take care of them. Plus, they got to raise money for the church. And we're a parenting church, and so we commit to that. And now we hire a pastor, or a pastor and his wife, or a pastor and a spouse, and pastor and family. Maybe they got one or two kids. Who knows? And all of a sudden, we are on the line for a big financial number. Not that that scares us, okay? It's that what happens if, let's say this does not work out in a year, year or so. And now, what do we do for that? What do we do with the pastor and his family? I mean, that was a big step of faith. They moved from somewhere. They were counting on their needs being met. And now we got to say, well, sorry, see ya. I just can't do that to somebody, okay? You know, that's a big commitment for us. So I pastor here. We are planting a church there where I will preach and where we'll pastor. As the church grows, the demand and needs grow. So we have a few different options, okay? We can hire someone to go and pastor that church. We can look for somebody, okay? And hire somebody to do that. And then the other option is I stay here and we don't know, we might plant another church. You know, I could end up pastoring that church and we're look for somebody here. Now, don't run out on this point. Let me finish this and I'm going to go somewhere with this. Okay, because I'm going to tell you the truth. The other part, Gino, this thing could get started and I could die. I'm not pastoring either place, okay? Not that it, you know, two places killed me. It's just, yeah. I'm not trying to be funny, but that's a reality. The reason I bring something like that up, or who knows, we get this planted and started. I may move and pastor somewhere else. I may travel and be an evangelist again. Who knows? I might go back and be a youth pastor. How uncool would that be? You know. I want you to know I'm still cool and hip in unincorporated towns. Okay, let me tell you why I give you those scenarios. I'm going to tell you something, and Sue and I have operated by this from our very beginning, and I have a track record that will prove this. Okay, that's not a pat on the back. I'm just telling you, I have a track record that will prove this. We love you. I just told Dennis, who left. Is he mad at me again? No, I'm kidding. I just told him the other week, I said, you know, he was the chairman of the pulpit committee at the time, and he wasn't the only one responsible, but I said, you know, thanks for bringing me to Sparta. It's not that everything's been easy. I mean, there's been challenges and difficulties and all those kind of things, but that's anywhere. You know, that's life, man. That's, you don't even have to be in the ministry for that stuff. This is the point that Sue and I, we have committed that though we belong to one another, Sue and I belong to the Lord. That's not to create a barrier between us, but if we can be healthy for a moment and honor the Lord, Sue and I belong to Him, just like you belong to Him, hopefully. And if God says, here, or stay, or there, or I'm sick of you, I'm done, or I want you home, Sue and I have to do it. I'll give you one scenario of a track record where we were pastoring previous. I loved it there. Ministry, it was good. I don't feel like we had to leave. You know, there are a couple people from that church here this morning, and they might be going, oh, I'm so glad he did, because they happen to be visiting. But, you know, you don't have to all look over there at once. We eventually built a house on just under 30 acres outside of town. It wasn't an elaborate house. It was a one-story ranch, finished basement. And then I had a detached garage that was 28 by 56. Not inches, feet. Sue didn't notice at the time, but I put the dimensions on the garage so they would be just a couple inches bigger than the house. I didn't ask about it. I just did it. Three stalls, you know, a little workshop. It had a three-piece bath in it. It had a lounge in it with camel paneling. It was a man's room. I had a log furniture futon thing in there. I mean, it was, you know, it was a TV and DVD player up in the corner. I mean, this was a garage. You go in it, you'd never know. It was just, it was beautiful. Outside of it was a paved basketball court with one of those gorilla-type basketball for my kids. They had their own court and a big, hefty, you know, sturdy, heavy-duty rim and basketball so fat guys could hang on it. Mind you, I had to lower it, but I could hang on it. Outside of that was a spot for the fifth-wheel camper, and all the septic stuff was right there. And I mean, it was just all planted. It was very nice. Listen, we built that, and I'm telling you the story because when we felt to come here, I did not even get a chance to enjoy that for 1 year. Because the home and the property didn't own us. We belong to Him. So, great question. Don't be uneasy about Randy and Sue and family leaving here. Hey, if that's what He has in store for us, Gino, you don't want me here. The other part is, if I'm supposed to stay here, you still may not want me here. But you're stuck. Okay? So what I'm saying, and I want you to put you at ease, to put your heart behind being a parent church and let God do something. And you know what? At this point, I'm running between two places. We're already at a, and as far as support and who's going to go there, and we have, listen, we're already at a church size, basically, that we should already have really a second pastor on staff. Now, because you look at the ratios and statistics, and not that they're always right, but we should probably do it. The board has already known that. This is not a complaint thing. I'm the one that has, you know, dragged my feet on this, because when the previous staff pastor left, the board would say, okay, well, you're going to go hire somebody? What are we, you know, what are we going to do? And I said, you know, I don't want to get in the replacement mentality. It's what is God doing now? What is he bringing us into? If we hire somebody, maybe they'll do the same thing. Maybe they'll do some of the same thing and something else. Maybe they're going to do something brand new. What does God have for us now? I don't want to get locked into, this is what we had, so we got to replace it. Oh, we had this, so we got to go. Let's pray through this. And through the recent economic times in our country, I also dragged my feet. Not with ignoring God, but saying, you know what? Let's be smart. Let's be wise. So extra demand has happened on our office staff, and they've risen to the occasion. And these gals are doing great. We've taken on a little more. In the interim period of not having a youth pastor, which was a very much a need at this church, we got to have somebody doing youth. Sue and I talked and said, would you do it for a season? The season has gotten long, but it's gone very well, and I don't want to touch it. Sue has come to me, even in recent days, and periodically she just says, you know, if you, the board's ready to hire somebody, it's not that, you know, I don't love these teens or that we're, you know, we're not gaining ground. It's, you're ready to hire somebody. Don't feel like you got to keep, you know, keep me in this place. I said, I know. Thank you. You're staying there right now. I don't want to mess with something that ain't broke. The youth ministry has done very well here. I am so grateful. And so that has also come at an economic value to us as a church, because as the youth ministry's grown, it could very easily be just a full-time job. I know. I'm married to her. That could very easily be the demand. It's pretty close to that. And so we're already at a place at our size that we could. So as we plant this, and this grows and it starts to develop, you know, we can look at hiring someone to help here and there along with us, or here to help cover some things so I'm free to do both still, or hire to help with, you know, just how, where are the demands? Where are things at? We can't let go of the baby till the baby's ready to go. You know that, parents. Although there's days you want them out early. So, I added that because it's on the heels of, how are you going to do this? And are you just going over there, or are you here, or are you, you know? So that is a great question. I'm glad you asked. That is the answer. I have nothing else to say. And it was asked Wednesday night, and I think it's a good question, a viable question. I don't want anybody nervous or at the same token, excited to say, oh, good, I hope it goes good, and he gets out of here. You know, it's, we don't know. We belong to him. We don't want to cut the legs off of new life. This is mama. You can't hurt mama. Baby suffers. So even with the investing of people and the investing of finances, you can't hurt here. You can sacrifice and you can give, but you can't hurt mama. Mama's laid up. That is not good. Okay? Ruth. As a church plant, we will not have a board there. That ministry and church, it'll probably be something like New Life La Crosse Campus or something like that, because everything will be run through here as the parent church until it becomes its own church, and then you work through a weaning process, and then they start to set up and they have their own 501c3 and they become their own church. In the interim time, the board here is the board of all the ministries of this church. And so they will function. They will look at the financial reports. They'll be aware of ministries going on, things like that. But it's not like they're going to have this major hands-on thing over there. They're just the board of deacons for this whole church and every ministry of this church. So that... Yes, correct. It'll have its own financial account running through the church here. So in other words, the 20 that we initially give and the 10 that the district is going to give starts with 30,000 in an account for them. And then when offerings are taken over there, that money is, you know, New Life La Crosse Campus. As people here say, hey, I'm tithing to New Life, but I want to do something extra as a parent, as we do, like, you know, here's gas money to our kids, or you're going out with your friends again. Here, you know, we give. And so somebody here is going to say, you know, I want to give to La Crosse Campus, so I'm just going to write New Life La Crosse $15. When that comes in, she knows, oh, that goes over to, you know, to help this church plan. And so we partner with prayer, people, investment, and financially. And so all of that's run through here, but there will be an account, like a ministry account for any ministry. It shows what goes in and what comes out. And so that'll all happen here. I would like to take more questions. It's really late. You've been kind. I know some have had to leave already. We can talk about this again. Thanks for taking time to do this. Thanks for hanging in. I'm sorry your lunch is cold, or that the Lutherans, Methodists, and Baptists all beat you to the restaurant, or, you know, whatever is happening. I'm sorry if you've missed the kickoff of some football game. I don't even know who's playing. I'm sorry. But listen, this is open for dialogue. But do me this favor. Do God this favor. Not to make it heavy, but do not talk about something you don't know about as if it is fact. Hear me? Concerning this church plant. Because as you go into a church plant like any ministry, you've got steps and things you go through, but things change. I don't want any of us to look foolish unnecessarily. I don't want you to say, oh, well, I go to the church, I know everything's going on, I'm close to the pastor, and we just, you know, we talk about it, and we're, you know, so what do you want to know, and we're doing it. Please, don't do things like that. Don't destroy things that have to do with a baby, okay? All right? Having a baby, there's all kinds of emotions and things you go through in preparation, things that you think you know, and then there's a bunch of things you didn't think of. That's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, it's what's going to happen. Not everybody's excited about somebody else having a baby. Sometimes the people who are having the baby aren't excited. Okay? And sometimes they're all excited. And then they realize it's work. Well, I just thought it was all hugging and cutesy and cute. And then it makes a mess. And, you know, it's all that stuff. So that's reality. It's moving us outside of where we're comfortable. I'll say that. But this is our committed intention. And careful how you talk. You can talk about it. You can. You may have opinions about it. If they're not encouraging, you know, keep it to yourself. If you're going to try to raise a divisive thing or do this or that, then you know what? You go ahead. You want to do that. But you're taking on somebody way bigger than any of us. You know, that's just, it's not a good biblical principle. You have questions, you can call me. You can talk to me. We can set up, you know, we'll do that. I'll try to provide another opportunity for some questions. I'll provide you updates. Please don't expect one every week. I mean, our first thing we need you praying for is location, location, location. We need a place to start. We just need a place to start. That's the biggest thing right now, okay? And then there will be the other things that come down the list. But if you can pray about that, we'd appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.